just got back from Eretz Yisrael, so let's discuss a little bit about the laws of Shemitah. Since this year, the number one parsha is Bahar, that it talks about, we know the halacha of Shemitah, 6 years you work the land, and the seventh year you rest it. Just like Shabbos. Shabbos, 6 years you work the land, 6 days a week you work, and the seventh day you rest. In fact, there were many Gedolim who had the practice that when the Shemitah year came, they used to go down, kiss the ground, and say a Guten Shabbos, or Shabbat Shalom, or whatever they said, whatever language they said it in. Because Shabbos is also a Shemitah. Shemitah is a Shabbos LaHashem. So the different rules people rely on, different minhagim, what type of supervision they want to have on Shemitah produce. So we'll go through some basic terms that they have. So number one is a simple one. Well, let's go back before I get to the term. So there's an issur of planting vegetables. You can't plant during the Shemitah year. And because vegetables only grow, you have to plant them. However, there's something called svichin. Svichin is something that grows by itself. In other words, what do you mean grows by itself? Nothing grows by itself. But it means is during the harvesting process or whatever process it was, some seeds fall down into the ground. Let's say sometimes you're in a midbar in the woods and you see a berry, like berries growing. In other words, sometimes things fall and they start. So svichin is something you didn't do intentionally. It happened by mistake or without your knowledge. So svichin, that means it didn't grow. It grew by itself. No one did any work. So if you don't do any work, so what's the problem? So the rabbi said, "Ein akinami, you're right." But midrabanan, they said, "No." Midrabanan, they said that we're not going to let you eat the vegetables that grow by themselves because we're concerned that people are going to plant and then say, no, they grew by themselves. To avoid people doing some falsehood, just like we find, let's say, by the bathhouse, even though, let's say, sometimes water could be heated before Shabbos, but the concern was that the people work there will say, well, even they'll actually heat it on Shabbos and say it was heated before. So whatever the reasons are, the bottom line is, you can't plant, there's no planting on Shemitah. However, even vegetables that grow on its own is an Isser Drabbanan, is a rabbinical prohibition of Svichin. So if that's the case, then how can we ever eat vegetables during Shemitah? We covered everything. If you plant them, you can't eat them if they come by themselves. So how does a Jew in Eretz Yisrael eat vegetables during Shemitah? Or maybe they don't eat any vegetables. So there are a couple of answers. Number one is what they call chul, ches lamed, chutz la'aretz, which means they get their produce from out of the land of Israel. We know the halacha of Shemitah only applies to produce grown in the land of Israel. Obviously, if something's grown in Canada, I don't have to worry about Shemitah. If something's grown in America, so they probably don't go that far, but let's say they go to Egypt, Jordan, different places where they end up getting the vegetables. So the people say the vegetables aren't as good as the Israeli ones. But if you're worried about the strict halakhas of Shemitah, so clearly if you get fruit, if you get vegetables that from a chutzlars, there's nothing to discuss, right? So that's a simple solution. Simple, you know, the negative is you're not supporting, some want to say you're supporting the terrorists and you're not supporting the Israel economy, but we'll get to that. That's a meta halacha discussion. But from a pure halacha point of view, obviously there's no concern. Like there's no problem you're avoiding Shemitah completely. The second level also is a little different. Chutz la'aretz means everything's grown out of the land of Israel. What about the following question? In the land of Israel, but non-Jews, Gentiles, Arabs, they own land in Eretz Yisrael, and they grow vegetables. So what's the story with that? Am I permitted to eat vegetables grown in the land of Israel, but it's from Gentile land, not Jewish land? So,
well, nowadays, that's what you can do. I don't know way back then, because you would have to sell the land to a guy.
All right, I'll get to the Heta Mechira in a minute. But this, let's assume, for whatever reason, however, Gentiles own land. I guess they do. I guess so. Arabs could be Israelis and owner. You know, I'm not even getting into selling the land. That would be another complication, but we'll get to that one. But that will come up in a couple of steps. But even, let's assume, whether it's real or hypothetical, a guy owns the land. In fact, it's called, in Israel, Yavul Nachri, Yavul, Yud, Beis, Vav, Lamed, Nachri. It means land that's owned by a non-Jew. What is the status of that? Does it have the sanctity of, does the fact that a non-Jew owns the land, does that take away the laws of Shemitah or not? So this goes back to a major debate in the 1500s between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The Beis Yosef and the Mabit, the Beis Yosef says that, and this is Minag Yerushalayim, and the Mabit is the Chazon Ish, has that opinion. That's Minag B'nai Brak. So there's a major debate between if you live in B'nai Brak or if you live in Yerushalayim. So, but the Beis Yosef writes that the halacha is Yavul Nachri is good. What do you mean it's good? I don't know if it's good or not good, but there's no din of Kedusha Shvius. There's no din of Shemitah. If a non-Jew owns land in Israel and you plant vegetables, so it's like any other vegetables, there's no problem. Like it's not, it doesn't take on, you need a Jewish-owned land. That being said, the Beis Yosef himself agrees a Jew should not work the land. Even if it's a non-Jewish land, he shouldn't be working the land. But nevertheless, the Beis Yosef says, having the vegetables are not a problem. It's Yavul Nachri. It's non-Jewish land. The Mabit disagrees and says it doesn't help. I mean, you can buy, in other words, if you get vegetables or fruit from, let's say, a non-Jewish land, let's say, so according to the Mabit, it will make a difference. Okay, so if it's vegetables, you have to deal with the laws regarding vegetables, and if it's peiro, so it has the halachas of peiro shvius. In other words, as we'll get to, the fact that the shvius doesn't mean you can't eat them or drink it. It just means you have to be, there's a mitzvah to eat it. The mitzvah is to eat peiro shvius. So that's not the nekuda. The nekuda is that it has the status of kedusha shvius. So it's a famous machlokas Mabit Beis Yosef, so the Minig Yushalayim, in fact, I saw many hashkachas in, I wasn't in B'nai Brak, but in many, I'd say like, again, it's not a scientific study, but 90% of the hashkachas I saw in Yushalayim all said Yavul Nachri, which is saying it was okay. They go with the Beis Yosef and the Minig Yushalayim that we assume it's okay to eat. There's no din of Shvius on these vegetables. In fact, interesting, it says on that Tudah, Yavul Nachri / Shishish. I wasn't sure what they meant, Shishish. Shishish, this means it's from the sixth year. Okay, so it's from the sixth year, it's definitely not a problem because Shemitah is on the seventh year. So therefore, that's what they point out, that if it's from the sixth year, there's nothing to talk about. And it's on the seventh, and if it's Yavul Nachri, so the consensus view is it's not a problem. In fact, one of the proofs they bring is as you mentioned, the Heta Mechira. whatever. It's known as Rav Kook's Heter, but it's way before. Rav Kook, he just inherited the job. He took over as a Rav in Yafo, and the rabbi before him happened to be the rabbi in charge of, that was his job. He was in charge of selling the land. So Rav Kook really was this, he was coincidental into it. It goes back before, it goes back to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, that's really Yeshiva University. But Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan Psak was based, you know, again, based on the time period, based, it was a Sakana, Pikuach Nefesh. He said one is permitted to sell the land in order to, because the people would starve and all that, there wouldn't be enough food, whatever the issues were, that's the Heta Mechira. So someone bring a proof, the fact is the Heta Mechira, if we paskind that Yavul Nachri is prohibited, so how does the Heta Mechira work? In other words, if you're telling me a non-Jew owning the land doesn't help, so how does selling the land to a non-Jew? So clearly, those who are proponents of the Heta Mechira clearly assume that it's not a problem. And even those who were against the Heta Mechira, that wasn't the reason. They gave other reasons why they didn't like it. In other words, let's say like the Netziv. The Netziv didn't like it for another reason. The Netziv wrote, you know why I'm against it? I think he said it's like going from the bear to the lion. I forget his expression. Mine is from the pan to the fire. I'm not sure which one's worse, a bear or a lion. But that what he's saying is today, we assume Shemitah is only Durabanan today. Why is Shemitah only Durabanan today? Shemitah is only
because the Beit Mikdash is not around, we can't bring Kabbonos.
Right, that's what one would think, but it's really connected to Yovel, that we only have Shemitah is only applies Daraisa when we have Yovel Daraisa. So when do we have Yovel Daraisa? Yovel Daraisa, you need Bias Kulchem. You need the majority of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough just living in Eretz Yisrael. They have to, even if in theory we have 14 million Jews and 10 million moved there, it still wouldn't change anything because you have to be specifically, the tribes have to, you have to know what Sheva you're from and you got to go back to the places where you live. So we don't have that today. So therefore, until basically the Mashiach comes, we're not going to know it. So Yovel is not going to apply until, but the point being is, even Bizman Bayesheni, even when the second temple was up, Shemitah was only Durabanan. Because we didn't have Bias, we didn't have the majority of Jews, not too many followed Ezra. And therefore, Yovel is not Daraisa. So why don't we, then not only, so therefore Shemitah is connected to Yovel. When Yovel's Daraisa, then we have Shemitah. So that's why it's a debate. Some hold today Shemitah's Durabanan. Some hold Shemitah's only Amidas Chasidus today. You know, we assume it's Durabanan. But so what? But today we don't even have Yovel Durabanan. So that's a discussion, Tosis and Gi and others, that it'd be too much for Rov HaTzibor to go through like another year adding Yovel, but you can't work the land and everything. That'd be too much for Klai Yisrael to accept. But either way, there's a further discussion on that, not for now. But the bottom line is, Shemitah is only Durabanan. So the whole Heta Mechira is based on the fact that Shemitah is Durabanan. The Shemitah was Daraisa, so then it'd be much more difficult to, you know, to rely on it. In fact, you know, many don't rely on it. They say there was only a Shas Hadchak then. But today, we don't have, people aren't starving. Others will claim, they might not be starving, but it depends how you look at it. If you look at it from a personal religious observance, then you're right. Then why should you get involved in the Heta Mechira? But if you look at it at a more national level, they'll argue like you're supporting your enemies, you're not supporting the, you know, farm people aren't going to come to Eretz Yisrael. And farmers are like, oh, you kidding me? I'm not going to be. So, you know, different other meta halacha reasons why one could rely. Again, so, you know, many don't rely on the Heta Mechira. There are those who do. So, you know, yesh v'yesh. But the point being is, so the Nitziv says the reason why he's against the Heta Mechira is because it makes, because the, even if eating fruits of Shemitah today, eating stuff from Shemitah is only a rabbinical prohibition. Selling the land to non-Jews is a biblical prohibition. So therefore he says you're running from the pan to the fire, like it's worried. Okay, good, so you avoid the prohibition of eating Shemitah, but you violated the biblical prohibition of selling land of Israel to non-Jews. Of course, the others will argue back and say it only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, like the Zayin Abimim. But that's why I think the chief rabbi only sells it to like Muslims and Druze, who technically are not, you know, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And as well, others point out that maybe the prohibition, why can't you sell land to a non-Jew? Because you don't want non-Jews to take, you want to have Jewish possession of Eretz Yisrael, not non-Jewish. Therefore, if you sell land, you're giving them possession of the land. So some point out, that's an irregular sale. Here, it's just a temporary sale. So if it's a temporary sale, so then we're not worried because they're going to get back the land, whatever it is, in a year or two, whatever the arrangement is. So therefore, the bottom line, the Heta Mechira is a discussion, but even those who are against the Heta Mechira, they don't give the reason because it doesn't help, because a non-Jew owning the land doesn't help. So from there we see that many of them hold that no, Yevul Nokri would be good. If you didn't sell the land, but if a non-Jew owned the land, so then, okay, so you're not giving it to. Let's say you came into Eretz Yisrael, they already owned the land. So that's how some runners. So either way, so that's why, that's a minig Yushalayim, minig B'nei Brak. I was in Yushalayim. I went with Yevul Nokri. I ate whatever I ate in those stores that said Yevul Nokri and Shishis. And, you know, I didn't see too many Heta Mechiris stores. So I figured, I was only there for a week, so I figured there's no reason, I don't need to rely on the Heter anyway. You know, if I was living there and it was a Shas Adchak, you know, I could revisit the Shaila, whether I would or wouldn't. I'm not saying I would or wouldn't, but for a week, I figured there's nothing, you know, because, you know, most, today, because you have a lot of stuff without the Heter Mechira, but that's part of the general, that's more of a nationalistic issue, a meta halacha issue, whether you're supporting terrorists, whether you're making people more difficult, they won't do Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, whatever the meta halachas are behind it, not for now. So we have chul. If it's purely from Chutz La'aretz, there's no problem. Secondly, if it's Yevul Nachri, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, but it's non-Jewish owned, so then Machokas Beis Yosef Ma'bid, Machokas Minag B'nei Brak and Minag Yerushalayim. And therefore, Minag Yerushalayim, and I think the majority opinion is like the Beis Yosef, that we assume it's okay, you can't eat that. We said Shishish if it's grown in the sixth year. And another way they avoid the problem is, it's called, I think, Matzah Minutak, which basically means kind of like hydroponic vegetables. In other words, basically, they dig up earth, they take it out. In other words, it's like the Gemara talks about flower plots that are connected to the ground, flower plots that aren't. So basically, the point being is, whatever the exact details of hydroponics are, matzah minutak, is that this heter is that since it's not grown from the ground, so therefore it's no problem with Shemitah. Like, obviously, if Shemitah is only if it comes from the ground, if you're growing something out of the ground, so the laws of Shemitah do not apply. Where does this concept come from, or like this type of idea? Because there's a discussion regarding mushrooms. Mushrooms. What bracha do you make on mushrooms? So one would have thought a bori pri adama, because they seem to come from the ground. However, that's not the halacha. The halacha is you make a shahako niya bidvaro. on mushrooms. The question is like, why in the world would I make? I don't make a shahako on cucumbers. I don't make a shahako on tomatoes. Why should I make a shahako on mushrooms? So,
because it's a fungus.
Right, but that might be true.
Funguses are not grown the regular way as other plants. They grow from decomposants of dead, like, they grow on dead things, like a dead tree.
Right, so basically what Chazal tell you is they grow from the air around it. They don't grow from the, they don't get the nourishment from the ground. Ah, you'll tell me, a scientist will tell me, right, what do you mean? It does. I'll say, yeah, it does. But that's not enough nourishment from the ground to halachically be considered nourished from the ground. However, Chazal knew it. That's our tradition. That mushrooms get, that. So therefore we see, if it's nourished out of the ground, there's no din of Adama. So that's the whole discussion in general, not limited to Shemitah. If you have hydroponics vegetables, what bracha do I make? So, again, so it, when they first came out, it was very rare. So people say, if you don't know, you go batzarov. Today, it's a bigger shaila. Again, so yesh v'yesh. Some say shahakol, some say adama. And I guess you can't lose by saying shahakol, because if the lach is adama and you made shahakol, you yotze. But if you make adama, sometimes you shop again. So I'm not, so you have to find out, I guess, how they're made. Because some say hydroponics, even though they're still. That's, I think, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that some posts can write that even by mushrooms, you make adama, you yotze b'diyah, because it's true. Chazal tell us, but still, if it grew in the ground, that's close enough. So either way, you probably yotze either way. If you made adama or shahako, I guess it depends also, maybe they make a distinction, more nuanced, how the hydroponics works. But nevertheless, that's what they write here. Another heter for eating vegetables during Shemitah is you do it through hydroponics, through like non-normative vegetables, and therefore you go ahead and you don't have to worry. So regarding vegetables, we said on one end, we have a problem. You have to plant them every year, so we can't plant on Shemitah, yeah? And secondly, we said the rabbis were concerned, even the svichin that grew by themselves, midrabanan, we say you can't eat it. So the question is, so then how can we have vegetables? So we gave different heterim. Either number one is you buy them in chutz laaretz, that's an easy one. Two is, obviously, if it's from the 6th year, it's not a problem. But Yavul Nochri, if it's non-Jewish owned, so that's the machlokas. We assume, like the Beis Yosef, that if it's non-Jewish owned, it doesn't take on the din of Shemitah, even though you shouldn't work the lamb, but you can eat the vegetables. And that's what the Heta Mechira is based on, that if you assume you can do a Heta Mechira, it only helps if non-Jewish only on helps. If you didn't, there'd be nothing to discuss about. You wouldn't have, the Heta Mechira wouldn't even come up if Yavul Nochri wasn't mutter. And then we have as well, Matzah Minutok. We have hydroponics. They're not growing from the ground. And then, then you have the Heta Mechira. Again, that'd be working with Yavul Nochri. Again, so, according to the Ma'abit, in other words, it all means Yavul Nochri doesn't mean, it depends what fruit or vegetable we're talking about. But if you go like the Ma'abit, it just means that you have to treat it like Shemitah. Then we have to figure out what the laws are. But regarding, so we have the different heterim, you buy it from Chutz Laaretz, you eat obviously from the 6th year, but Yavul Nochri, Matzah Minutok is the hydroponics, and Heta Mechira. You have different heterim, different ways, people rely on it. We'll have to discuss another time. Perush Shvias is a different halacha, meaning it's the same halacha, Shemitah. But Perush, they grow by themselves every year. You don't have to plant. So there's no problem of planting. And on one end, there's a mitzvah of eating, va'achla. Va'achla v'lo lehefted. There's a mitzvah of eating peiros shvius, the Ramban writes. So on the other hand, we find that there's an issur of eating peiros shvius. So which one is it? A peiros shvius mutter to eat? Is it a mitzvah to eat peiros shvius? Or is there an issur to have peiros shvius? So we'll see. It'll depend on when you're having them, perhaps, that there's a, we'll, as we'll get into another time, there's a, something called the Zman. You're only allowed to eat peiros shvius for a certain amount of time when they're still growing in the field. But once they stop growing, so then you have to make them hefker. We'll have to get into oats or based and other ways of how we deal with peiros shvius. If it has the kedusha shvius, you're going to have to put, like, you have to make sure you finish everything. That's why there'll be a minig of putting orange peels and other things in a special container until they're rotten, et cetera. So that's what we'll have to get into next time. So what's your story tomorrow? Are you on tomorrow morning this time? Or are you going to be busy? Or you won't know until tomorrow?
Most likely I will not be busy.
Right, okay, so tomorrow. Yeah, so we'll touch base. All things being equal, we'll try to have a share tomorrow morning, you know, if no one's available. Okay, great. Have a good day. Have a safe trip back. And we'll talk to
have a wonderful day and a wonderful long weekend.
Okay, thank you.